It is News with Nick. Wow, amazing. August 11th, 2018. An airline employee stole a passenger plane Friday from the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport and flew it for an hour, with military jets chasing him, pulling off aerobatic stunts before crashing in a wooded island 25 miles away, authorities said. The 29-year-old Horizon Air ground service agent, the only person aboard, has died. The incident, which the FBI Seattle office did not consider terrorism, of course not. His name was Rich, or what was it? Rob or something? I don't know. Raises questions about airport security. Investigators headed Saturday to the crash site to recover the plane's data recorders and the man's remains. I don't think we actually know who this guy was yet. I at least haven't found it. So if anyone knows, let me know. Let's see what CNN News has to say.
After an airline ground service agent stole it from a maintenance area at Seattle's main airport, SeaTac Airport. I'm George Howell.
I'm Natalie Allen. Welcome to our viewers in the U.S. and all around the world. Yes, it is a bizarre and tragic story we've been covering for hours now. The plane went down on Ketron Island, that's southwest of the airport, killing the pilot. No one on the ground was hurt, and some people did live on that small island. The aircraft took off Friday night without authorization and thankfully without anyone else on that plane. And authorities identify the person controlling it as a 29-year-old Horizon Air Ground Service agent who is from Pierce County, Washington.
The Pierce County Sheriff.
All right, so guys working at the airport. It's about, 7:38 p.m. And he goes, this is it. I'm tired of these suitcases. I'm tired of these little mini lightsabers. They're like not even full-on lightsabers. They're just little mini lightsabers that I have to carry around and gesture real gay-like toward planes. Okay, go that way. Go that way. I'm tired of this. I'm getting out of here. So he grabs a plane. He climbs in, starts it up, and he flies, right? And now everyone thinks you can't just fly. At least that's what the pilot union wants you to think. Like, nobody can just fly. But apparently you can. So then he jumps on the mic and he starts talking to air traffic control. I don't know how he knows how to work this either. Like, maybe it's automatically tuned into the air traffic control line. I guess that, because that's what happened on that 9/11, right? Ooh, this is a new 9/11. It's like August 11, only it was actually last night. So it's not even really. But you know that old saying, it's 9/11 somewhere. It's a song. On 9/11, the guy like talked to air traffic control and he said, "Everyone stay in your seats." Or no, wait, he didn't say that. He said, "Everyone stay calm. We're going back to the airport," right? But that actually never went out over the cabin, over the cabin speaker. So anyway, the guy's talking to air traffic control and we've got a ton of clips already released of him talking to air traffic control while he's flying the plane. So let's get started. He said, "I'm going to land in a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll. And if that goes good, I'm just going to nose down and call it a night." And now everyone is going, he said he's going to nose down and call it a night? He's going to crash the plane. That's what he's saying right here. His name was Rich. So, but a lot of people are saying, no. Nose down is just a term for landing back in those old airline cultures.
In a safe kind of manner. I think I'm going to try to do a barrel roll, and if that goes good, I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
So he says that air traffic control writes back, or talks back, I suppose.
Well, Rich, before you do that, let's think about this. I got another pilot coming up, Pilot Joel, here in just a minute or two, I hope, and we'll be able to give you some advice on what to do next.
So he calls air traffic control calls another pilot into the area so that they can talk him through landing the plane safely. Now, we don't know, did he ever plan to land the plane safely? He never obviously succeeded in doing so. If you're flying a plane, right, and you don't plan to ever land it safely, you wouldn't tell them, by the way, I'm not going to be landing this safely. I'm going to try to smash it into something. You'd never say that because as soon as you say that, they just shoot you down. If you say, I'm going to try to land it safely, you'll stay alive for much longer. So that is what you should do. All right, let's skip to the next clip where air traffic control... Oh, crap. Oh, no. Okay, air traffic control is calling the pilot over to help, and the guy in the plane overhears him asking for help for him.
And,
Okay, very good, thank you.
Right now he's just flying around, and, he just needs some help controlling his aircraft.
Very good.
Now he jumps on the mic and says, no, I don't need any help.
That much help. I played some video games before. I would like to figure out how to get this cabin altitude. Like, I know where the box is. I would like to get some, make it pressurized or something so I'm not so lightheaded.
And
so he says, nah, I don't need some help. I've played video games before. However, I don't know how to pressurize the cabin. Amazing. Amazing. So he's flying around. And then he says, I'm going to do a barrel roll, right? And everyone goes, he's going to do a barrel roll? No, he won't do a barrel roll. And then there's a video of him doing a barrel roll. The plane flips over, and then it starts diving straight toward the river, but he pulls it up in time to not hit the lake or river or whatever it was. The sound, right? That's what they call... If you're a lake, but you don't want to be called a lake and you want to be cool, you're like, no, I'm a sound. So the guy says, now the pilot jumps on and says, congrats, you did it.
Everybody on the ground.
All right.
Everybody on the ground.
All right. Now, damn it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't want to. I was kind of hoping that was going to be it, you know?
Everybody on the ground.
The pilot says, I don't want to land. I don't know. I don't want to. I was kind of hoping that was going to be it. Like, he thought he wouldn't pull off the barrel roll. He thought he was going to try it and it would fail. But he did it, and he's like, oh, crap, I did it? Now what? So he's still flying around, and he talks back to the pilot.
Hey, you think if I land this successfully, Alaska will give me a job as a pilot?
You know, I think they would give you a job doing anything if you could pull this off.
Oh, that was nice of him. So the pilot says, if you can land it, they'll give you a job as anything, right? Just trying to talk the crazy guy into the runway safely. Now, that's not all the clips. However, that's the ones I picked. And so he did not end up landing in one piece. He landed in about 5,000 different pieces. But there it is. He went full on GTA, grabbed a plane, started flying around, and did a barrel roll. Well, F-15s were after him, and that's how he went out. So, good on him, right? Oh, I haven't done a news story since the hot dog eating competition. Now, we've done this news story over and over and over again because it's just the same news story every year. Joey Chestnut sets a new Nathan's hot dog eating contest record. So the main story was not that this guy ate 74 hot dogs. It was actually that the judges are so bad that they miscounted. Viewers of the annual Coney Island Chowdown were left scratching their heads as the official tally had Chestnut chowing down just 64 francs. The legendary events judges turned out to be complete weenies when it came to basic math. I'm just reading someone else's jokes. It's very stupid. They lost count of how many hot dogs he had. And so they had like a 64 on the sign. But I was still watching. I was like going, he's way ahead. This is the boringest competition on earth. They really need to get rid of this hot dog eating competition. And instead, they need to replace it with like the hot dog 5K or something, where you have to eat a hot dog every lap of a 5K or something. Now, they have the beer mile where they actually do that. You run a quarter mile and then you drink some beer. But they should have, like, eat 10 hot dogs in 2 minutes and then run a quarter, run a 5K or something and then see who can win that. That'd be funny. Or just have these same guys, like, say, okay, we're not even going to get new runners. We're just going to have the same guys that always do that Nathan's hot dog. But instead, they actually have to run a race after having eaten. And for every dog that they had, that takes off 10 seconds of their time or something. I don't know. 10 seconds, so that'd be 40, blah, blah, blah. dick number. I love it when we do math on the air. So that guy flying the plane made me think of, like, how, like, could you, can anyone just fly a plane? When you walk onto a plane, you normally look in the cockpit, right? I don't know if you guys do. And you see all the buttons and all the controls on the overhead. And you go, oh, there's no way that a plane does that many things, right? There's like 58 buttons per wall. How many things could a plane possibly, like, I've played video games too. How many things could a plane possibly do that require 52 buttons per wall? And I think that those cockpits are just built by the pilots union to make it seem like piloting is super hard, when really they're just taking off and sleeping in there. That's why the cockpit doors have to be locked these days. It wasn't 9/11, or maybe 9/11 was a false flag by the pilots so that they could get those locking cockpit doors and just sit in there and sleep and rub each other's nipples or something. So, and they just put a bunch of buttons in there to make it seem like it's complicated. And then if something's going wrong, they go, oh no, push all the buttons, push all the buttons. I've played video games. Okay, cool. Now, this news show is going to be a little bit more about, less about news, and I'm going to update you with some of the stuff that's been going on. Because here I am doing a show, and I haven't done a show for a while now. We had this heat wave that came through, and the upstairs of my house is real not very ventilated, let's say. I mean, there's windows, but it gets pretty hot. So I moved my computer and everything downstairs, and for several weeks, I was just sitting in the downstairs. I'd moved my entire office down there, not even where the studio is. So that made me lazy, and I never recorded anything. Just instead played some video games, right? And flew planes. Anyway, so as everyone knows, if you listened to the PCL, I went to jail, right? I was a convicted first offense drunk driver. And that means you have to go to court and you have to plea your case. And by pleading your case, I mean you have a lawyer tell you what to do. And he says, plead guilty because it'll be the best course of action. I go, okay, whatever. So I do that, get your license suspended for 9 months, reduced to 3 months if you complete all the classes. And then last I had left you guys off, I had signed up for some classes. I think they were supposed to, I was supposed to do an intake with a lady on like May 5th, right? And I said, I can't make it May 12th. I have to go to Michigan and run a race. Sorry. So they're like, fine. We'll call the lady in your town and we'll see if you can do it May 5th. So they call the lady and she says, sure, I'll come in early, 9 a.m. to do a special intake for a guy. I'm like, ooh, that's really nice of that lady to do, right? 9 a.m. Oh my God. How? I'm like super inconveniencing her, right? So like a good responsible man, I show up at that office at like 8:55, right? And I go up to the door and I try to open the door and it's like locked. And I knock on the door and there's no one there. Then I wait till 9. Then I wait till 9:05. Then I wait till 9:07. And then the oldest lady on earth starts walking down the hall and she goes, oh, you must be here to see me. I completely forgot that I agreed to do this. I was looking at my calendar last night and I was like, oh, I got to be in at 9 tomorrow. Oh, no. And I was the nicest man on earth. I said, oh, yeah, sorry. I really appreciate it. How late do you stay every night? She's like, yeah, normally 6. Like, whatever. She's not working until 8 or 9 at night and then having to come in at, she normally starts her day at 10, right? Maybe it's because these drunken drivers don't even wake up early. Like, they set an appointment for 9 and they're like, oh, I can't make that. All right. So the way the intake works is you get interviewed by the lady. She says a bunch of stuff like, do you ever crave a drink? And I go, no. Do you have one, though? JK. Asks you all these weird questions, asks you if you've ever done drugs, and then gives you these written tests, right? So there's two written tests. There's one that is, there's one that's just true-false, I think. Yeah, there's one that's true-false. And then there's one that you rate yourself strongly agree or not strongly agree. Anyway, or there's one that's like mixed. It's hard to explain. And the one that is mixed all these different questions, she got it back and she's like, oh, this score is pretty good. And some of the questions were so dumb. They were like, I continue my behavior even though I know it causes problems for my family. And I go, but wait, that's like a false premise question. Like, you're saying it causes problems, but I continue my behavior. Do I continue my behavior even though I know it causes problems for my family? That was a very confusing question. I didn't know what to do. So I just wrote false premise, and then they called the police. Because you're not supposed to do that on the questionnaire. There was a whole bunch of other questions like, I admit it, I'm a very aggressive driver. Like, who would say yes to some of these things? So there's that one. I passed that really easily. And then there's the other one that has these strange questions on it, such as, I've gotten a cut in my life sometime after the age of 18 that caused a scar. I'm like, okay, I guess I did. Then there's another question called, I've had a stressful, I've had a stressful thing happen in the last 12 months. And I go, yeah, I got arrested. So I say yes to that. That's automatically 2 points off. Apparently in this one, if you get 10 points off, you get in trouble. There's some others called, I slow down at a yellow light. Like, sometimes I don't. By the way, don't try to be a smartass with these questionnaires. Now, smart me was all dressed up for this, right? I was a very presentable man, very friendly to the lady, and I ended up failing the second questionnaire because of these BS questions that were very confusing. And one of them was like, I like people who are funny even if they hurt other people's feelings. So I said, yeah, sure. And she said, you failed this questionnaire. We got to do something about this. We're going to have to change some of your answers. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. We definitely can do that. And then she said, you like people who are funny even though they hurt other people? And I said, oh, did I write that? Oh, I did not mean that. I meant I don't like people who are hurt other people. And she's like, okay. And she changed it. So she changed them all enough so that I didn't get to the next level. Because what happens is if you fail the test, if you fail the intake, you get to the next level called the evaluation, where they call in a specialist to evaluate you and see if you have a drug problem. So she changed a couple of the questions down to the level that I didn't level up, right? So that was good. And then I get scheduled for classes, right? And she's like, okay, so we got a class this weekend in 2 days and then the weekend after. And I said, no, I can't do the weekend after. Remember, that's why I'm here today, because I'm traveling for that race the next weekend. And she goes, you can't skip a class. That's not how that works. And I go, I think I can, and I can make it up. And she said, fine, I'll call the office. So she picks up her phone. By the way, cell phone, she does not have an office phone. And this little office is like a room in a office building. There's a whole bunch of other businesses there, including like a craft maker old lady, right? Mm-hmm. They just make flowers all day out of paper mache or tissue paper. So she calls the office and she says, I got a guy here. He says he can't make one of the classes and wants to know if he can make it up another time. And they say, yeah, whatever. He can. And she goes, oh, wow, I can't believe it. Okay. She's supposed to be like one of the best. And because she's been doing it for 32 years, she's the best, definitely, if she's listening right now. So she hangs up. She goes, okay, I guess you can. So I get signed up for class. Show up Saturday morning for class. I meet the people outside. It's supposed to start at like 8 or 8:30 or something. We're all standing out there like 10 minutes after it's supposed to start. And then she rolls up and she says, hi, everybody. She finally comes to her own class like 10, 15 minutes late. We all go inside. We sit down. She counts us. 5. She goes, wait a minute. We can't have a class with 5. The legal minimum is 6. And we go, now none of us want to be there, but we want to get this over with. This is the point of the matter, the point of the thing. And we all go, whatever. I mean, what are you going to do? She goes, fine, we'll have it. And then a sixth guy comes in anyway. So it ended up being fine, at least to start. So we all go around the room. We have to tell all of our different stories of how we got arrested by the police. And some of them were the most BS stories I've ever heard. One lady was riding like a motorized scooter in the 1930s or something. This is like 15 years ago or something. And she's just making it up now because she moved away and didn't deal with it. Motorized scooter, and she crashes into a curb and her vodka bottle comes out. And then they arrest her because she was drunk. Even though she was driving a vehicle that doesn't require a driver's license. So she was arrested, okay? Another guy in the class got arrested for parking somewhere because he knew he was too drunk to drive. So he pulled over into a parking lot. And you know what's more suspicious than a man pulled over into a parking lot? Nothing. That is the most suspicious thing you could do. So if you are drunk, continue driving. Do not pull over and do the safe thing. That is super suspicious, and the charge is no different. I mean, the charge is different if you crash, but the charge is no different. He blew a .23 or something insane because he chugged a whole bunch of Jim Beam. And so now that guy's with us, right? That's BS, because who knows? Maybe he wasn't over the limit while he was driving. Maybe it caught up with him. And then the last one that was crazy was this girl. She's like, I had two Coronas, and then I tried driving somewhere, and I pulled over to check the map or like to text my friend or something. And then a cop pulled up and arrested me for messing up on the sobriety test. And then I blew a .04 at the station. That's not even drunk. Now, what I've learned is that they can still charge you, right? They can say, oh, you were definitely drunk because the BAC blow is only a piece of evidence. It's not the end-all be-all. Now, if it's .02 or something stupid low, then yeah, it is evidence in your favor. If it's .08, it's evidence in the cop's favor. If it's .04, it's like middle of the road. Like, it's clear the person had been drinking, but were they impaired? I don't know. So that idiot girl took a plea, right? She should not have taken a plea, but she did. And after the class, I said, I can't believe you took a plea. And then I beat her, just like I beat Derek J for taking all his pleas, right, everyone? Yeah, she should not have done that. So that made me actually mad on her behalf that they would arrest her after blowing a .04. Anyway, so all right, so we're getting near the end. Oh, so during the day, I took some notes, so let's see. We take a pretest. They pass out this pretest, and you have to fill it out. It's all a whole bunch of questions about the law, about the penalties around DUI, about drinking, blah, blah, blah. I get a 100% on the pretest before we even had studied anything. Now, to me, that means I should just be able to walk out, right? Hey, you got a 100% on the pretest. You know everything that we expect you to know in this class. See ya. Nope, that's not how it works, obviously. 19 more hours to go, that's all. So basically, the class is just one piece of very poorly photocopied paper after another. Just pretend you're in high school health class, and that's what it is. Here's the effects of drinking on the brain. Here's the effects of drinking on the boobs. Here's the effect of drinking on the balls. They're like, if you drink too much, as a man, you will start to get a higher-pitched voice. And if you drink too much as a woman, you will start to get a lower-pitched voice. That's why all men who drink are gay. No, that's not okay. They didn't go that far. However, it was insane. And this lady is so old that the entire class, between her handing out papers, is her telling us stories about herself being an alcoholic back when she was a kid. She's like, I was 14. I got picked up by these two guys. They gave me a sip of vodka. It was the grossest thing I ever had. I had another sip. It was the best thing I ever had. I was a drunk immediately. That's how I became an alcoholic. Right? So a lot of hours of listening to this old lady talk, and there's only one correct answer to everything. Wow, that is the most interesting story I've ever heard. You have really taught me a lot here. Because guess what? She can do anything. She could write back to the office and say, you were a blockhead, you didn't listen to anything, you argued constantly, blah, blah, blah. I never argued. She said, If the cops want to search your car, they search your car. And I wanted to be like, no, the Constitution. But no, there's only one right answer. I only argued one thing. She said, 16 ounces, that's a beer and a half. And I said, no, it's not. It's a beer and a third. And she said, fine, you can write a beer and a third. Because we were writing, you're supposed to write down how much you drank on that night in question. All right, so we go through 100 pieces of paper, mostly around health and alcohol stuff, and they teach us what your penalties are, especially for a second offense. And then they show us this video, just like in health class, where you have to watch these people go up on stage and go, I used to be a drunk driver, and I killed 18 kids, right? And one of the victims was like some German girl or Russian, I don't even know, who got all of her skin melted off, and now she's just like the Pillsbury Doughboy because she got in a drunk driving crash. It was really sad, actually, and it's awful, and it's made to scare you into not drinking and driving, which, fine, I'm not pro-drinking and driving, but I'm not sure that the class is helping. I mean, deep down you go, or not deep down, but a lot of people would make the argument, like, they're spending a lot of time focusing on the drinking and the substance abuse side of drinking and driving, and not on the driving part. Like, why shouldn't we be studying ways to not drive while drinking? Because anyone could be arrested for drinking and driving, but I guess statistically, they are getting the people who are drinking more often, right? I'm drinking more often than an average person, I'm pretty sure. And they got me, right? So maybe it is true that people with abuse problems are more likely to be arrested for this. Because one day of class, it was just like an hour of her going through all of the different stages of becoming an alcoholic. You start as a social drinker, and then you get to stage two. And stage two is like, if you're looking forward to drinking, you're at stage two of being an alcoholic. Then stage three, if you're beyond looking forward to drinking, you're actually preoccupied with drinking, like, then you're at stage three. And then stage four is when you're sitting on the couch and you can't get up and you're nude and you're drinking a 18-pack of Bud Light per hour. That's stage four. All right. End of day one comes. She actually goes, I'm going to leave a little early because I want to get to this AA meeting. There's actually like a dinner tonight celebrating the 52th anniversary of AA. So we're actually going to leave early. Bye. So we all leave early just because the instructor wants to, right? Day two comes. We start working and then the instructor says, oh, by the way, 0.04 girl said she has to leave early to go to work. So if you guys all agree to let her go early and not tell the government, we'll let her go early and we'll just give her some homework. And we all go, sure. Like, who's going to be a dick and be like, no, we're trapped here, so she has to be trapped here. Now, by the official rules, if you miss a class, you got to make up the class or start the whole thing over. Oh, man, that'd be so boring if you messed up and you had to start over again. It's so boring. Okay. So, we let her go to class. We finish that day. I don't even remember what happens. And then at the end of that class, I go, oh, by the way, remember, I'm traveling and I need to make up a day. So, you're teaching. I know that she's teaching at the camp in Boscawen the next 2 weekends later. Now, the camp is like an overnight thing. It's another way that you can take a class. You can either do the weekend thing that I'm doing, like you go there during the day, or you literally go and you live there. Right? So this is their website. Let's see. The weekend IDEP is a residential program which costs $485. It is held at the Boscawen location where you will receive the entire 20-hour curriculum over a weekend in a casual and friendly environment. Our weekend program begins Friday at noon and is completed at noon on Sunday and includes two overnights on campus. So you literally go there, you have breakfast there, you sleep there, and you go to class during the day to fill out your needed required hours. So I'm like, hey, you're teaching the weekend class in Boscawen. Can I just go for day three there and make it up? And I'm like, that's clearly a stupid suggestion, right? They obviously would follow a different like program slightly than we would, especially if Sunday ends at noon, which I knew that it's not going to be the same number of hours. And she goes, let me check. And I go, she'll find out that I can't. So I call her later in the week and I go, hey, did you find out about that thing? And she says, yeah, it's just fine. You can do it. And I go, oh, okay. Right? So I get a ride out to Bosquin on a Sunday and I only have to go from like 8 to noon and we cover all of the same things we already covered on day two. So I don't even know most of the stuff I was supposed to know. We take the, oh yeah, so the camp is actually kind of interesting. They had like 22 people there and they were cool people, I suppose, mostly males. Yeah, a lot more than was in my local class. And during one of the breaks, we had the funniest guy. He was super pro-Trump. And he would say things about liberals while we were on break. He'd be like, I knew just one lady. She was a terrible liberal, though. Nicest person, but the worst liberal. And then some other girl in the class goes, careful, there might be liberals in here, too. And he goes, well, I'm sorry about that. If there are. Crazy, right? Like, some people have no self... Like, he literally must have been insane. How could you not have self-awareness that, A, we're in, like, New Hampshire. There's a bunch of people that could be from either side. And you don't say that stuff. Anyway. So we get to the point of the class where we take the post-test. So we take the post-test. We switch papers. I switched paper with a relatively smart looking female and then we'd grade each other's and we both got 100s and it was fine. Obviously, because it's the easiest test on earth. Like, here are some of the questions from the test. True or false? Children of alcoholics grow up to be well-adjusted members of society. True or false? Driving with someone who is impaired is safe. Man, I wish I'd gotten like the whole test. It was the dumbest test. There was the hardest question on the entire test was how much BAC per hour goes out of your bloodstream? Like, how much does it go down for every hour you've stopped drinking? And the answer is 0.015 average. There might have been a couple other questions about like penalties of stuff, which is good to know because you want to know what you're going to be up against if you do it again, so don't ever do it, but whatever. Now, so I'm like, that's the easiest test ever. And then I walk up to someone who's still grading someone else's work, and she goes, I need some help with this. Can someone else read me the answers while I do it? So I start reading the answers from mine, because I know mine's 100% right. And she's just going, oh, slow down, slow down. I got to mark these all wrong. I'm like, what? Some guy got like, I don't know, 35% of them wrong. And I don't know whatever happened to him, right? You just leave and you're like, well, hopefully he's okay, but that's crazy. So great. I finished the class. I get my letter of completion in the mail from the alcohol class saying, you've completed all of the things. You've paid us in money orders the entire way, which, by the way, they only accept money orders. So yeah, you got to go to the store and you got to get these exact value money orders. The lady at the store is probably like, one of you again at this exact value of $150, right? Nothing else could ever cost $150. So I get my thing. I write up my motion to the court that has to say, hey court, I've finished the class. Will you please reduce the sentence from 9 months to 3 months? And I fill it out and I send a copy to the trooper who prosecuted me, and the trooper actually writes back. He says, looks good, good luck. And I go, ooh, that's a good sign. So I submit it to the court. They submit granted. Boom! Right? I was convicted on April 12th. That means June, July, wait, April, May, June, July. July 12th, I should be good. So come July 1st, I start filling out my insurance paperwork to send it to the state, and I call the DMV. And I call the DMV and I go, hey, DMV, I need to pay you $100 for my reinstatement fee because I'm about to be reinstated come July 12th, I think. And the lady goes, what? no, my computer says October 12th. And I go, what? No. And she goes, have you been to court? And I go, yeah. She says, oh, that's not showing at all. I got to transfer you. Bye. And so she transfers me. And then you sit in this other hold thing where every like 2 minutes it goes, you are number 520th in line. Please stay on the line. So it was like 11th I was in place. So I just had to sit on the line for like an hour, right? I'm doing other stuff while on the phone. Finally, the lady picks up. I go, yeah, whew, I was transferred here because I'm supposed to be off suspension mid-July, and apparently it says October, and that's wrong. And she goes, let me look. Oh, wow, yeah. You went to court? Oh, that's not even showing up in here. Now, normally you would say, oh, wow, sweet. I'm not convicted. No, because part of me getting convicted was the plea that reduced the sentence. So it's actually, it's the only thing that's showing for them is the refusal to blow into the breathalyzer, which ended, which would have ended October 12th. I need them to see the conviction because part of the plea was that the rest of it went away. So I'm like, this is bad. She's like, all right, let me check on that. So she puts me on hold. She comes back. She goes, yeah, the lady who can get into the court system isn't at her desk, so we'll call you back. And I go, okay. Apparently there's only one lady at the state DMV that can log into the court system. Hopefully she doesn't die, right? I'm like, oh, this is the worst. This is the way they've lost my paperwork. I knew this was going to happen. It was going too smoothly. There had been no hiccups so far except for that one time that Joan almost didn't beep. Except for that one time that the lady didn't show up. I didn't really want to say the instructor's name, but whatever. Because people could look her up. She didn't show up. And other than that, everything was going smooth. And even that was fine. Great. I knew it. I knew they lost my paperwork. There was no way this was going to go smoothly. I'm going to be suspended till October. They call me back. They go, everything's fine. You're good. I go, whoo, phew. So I drive, bike in. That'd be really stupid to drive in to get your license when you're suspended. So I bike in, take a pic. I pass the eye exam. Barely. I had brought my glasses, but I'm actually not sure what the law is regarding glasses and passing your driver's license test. Like, if you have to use glasses to pass it, does it mark on your license you use them? And then if you're caught driving without them, do you get a ticket? I actually do not know. So I didn't want to risk it. So I tried passing it without them, and it's really hard. But if I squint at just the right angle, I can see the numbers. So I just pretended that I was having a hard time with getting the eye thing aligned, and I said... And I paused for the longest amount of time, and I said, DAG, as soon as I saw it. And she's like, oh, you passed. I'm like, ooh, that was close. So I passed the eye exam, get my picture, and have a license. Yay! So I'm on what's called a probationary license for 5 years. That means I cannot drive with a .03 or higher BAC, otherwise known as I can't drive at all. If I have had a drink. So other than that, everything's good. And that is the show. Bye, everybody. No. So should I do like a Nick Ryder tips video on what happens when this happens? Because this is crazy. Like, it went relatively smoothly for me. And I think my insurance has gone up $12 a month or something stupid low. Like, it's whatever. It's not like costing me an extra $1,000 a year or something. So there it is. That's how you get through a charge in the state of New Hampshire after jumping out of your car and having the cops yell at you. Have you guys heard about Molly Tibbetts? Molly Tibbetts is a lady. She was staying at her boyfriend's house. She went for a run. She never returned. Bum, 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 bum. Actually, there's no evidence she never returned. All they know is that she's gone now.
Molly Tibbetts' family is not giving up hope that they can still find her.
We're just fighting to get her home.
Equipped with buttons, t-shirts, and missing posters, Molly Tibbetts' dad, Rob Tibbetts, and her boyfriend, Dalton Jack, were greeted by a storm of media on the second day of the state fair. But Friday was
they
all
have
about
shirts.
Meeting face.
They have shirts. Their shirts just say, missing, Molly Tibbetts. How is that helping?
To face with
having horrible style and fashion is going to help get your daughter back? No.
Iowans.
It's pretty extraordinary the compassion that Iowans have, offering support and their prayers and all the encouragement in the world.
Rob Tibbetts handed out hundreds of these flyers to lines of fairgoers.
Thank you. Hope you find your zone.
All of it in hopes of crossing paths with that one person that might lead them back to Molly.
It's going to be people here in the state that saw something or know something that get back to the authorities with that information.
Dad is boring. Let's see what boyfriend has to say, because this guy is just as creepo.
Weird.
That's something I ever thought I'd have to do, but I'd do it all over again for her. Everybody meets.
He's chewing gum and hanging out. He's like, nope, yep, looking for my girlfriend.
That one special person, that's her to me.
Their story, Molly's story, has been embraced all across Iowa.
I think that people just have seized on Molly's story because it's similar to their own children. And what? They know that
they ran away?
Could have been one of their kids.
A father desperate for answers, doing everything he can to bring his girl home. His message tonight for Molly.
Just hang in there, Pi. Just, we're going to come get you. Everybody's looking.
Maybe she left because you keep calling her Pi. I can't be hanging out with this anymore. And that boyfriend is a loser. And so she jumped into some guy's car. She called an Uber. They're like, where are you going? She's like, I don't care. Wherever. Where did Tad Cummins go? I'm going there. Where they can't find me anymore. So everyone's looking for Molly Tibbetts, right? Nobody knows where to look. So the only person that they ask is a pig farmer. He lives nearby, so it must have been him. He probably kidnapped her, right?
Calls have not led investigators to finding Molly Tibbetts.
We are pursuing every lead that is available to us.
But they have been led to the doorstep of Deep River resident Wayne Cheney's home.
What was the situation like for you here and how they kind of approached everything?
Oh, I don't...
I'm sorry about the audio issues here. I just have to crank this because the audio is bad. So they're talking to a pig farmer outside his house, and he's not very eloquent. And he just goes, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We're wasting our time. Yeah. I'm done.
You said the FBI took you down to the fire station, right?
I guess it wasn't the FBI. I don't know who them two guys were, but they took me to the fire station Tuesday.
I don't know who those two guys were. They asked me a bunch of questions.
For a couple hours, they questioned me.
Just about, like, what you saw out here, or actually, like, where you've been, or what was that? What kind of questions?
No, I don't even remember what they asked me.
Just 15 minutes from where Tibbetts was last seen on July 19th, Cheney also lives within walking distance of the hog farms investigators reportedly searched recently while investigating the 20-year-old University of Iowa student's disappearance.
It was just a waste of time, I thought, but oh well.
It may have been his location, combined with Iowa court documents that show Cheney has entered guilty pleas on two separate occasions for stalking, once in Poweshiek County in 2000.
Okay, so the guy is actually an old stalker. Ex-girlfriend of the hog farmer quizzed in Molly Tibbetts' case says he still stalks her. Victim's nightmare isn't over as Alan Cheney continues harassing her. So Alan Cheney is the pig farmer, a person of interest, even though they haven't officially said person of interest, but they're interested in him because they keep asking him things, right? So what's the difference between being a person who's questioned and being a person of interest? Like, you're not a person of interest, but come on, we're interested in asking you questions, right? The stalking victim of an Iowa hog farmer who says he was questioned in the disappearance of Molly Tibbetts says her nightmare isn't over. The victim tells RadarOnline.com exclusively that her boyfriend, who pled guilty to stalking her in 2009, was charged with the same in 2014, continues harassing her. All I can tell you is he did stalk me and he continues to stalk me. Good story. I have nothing to hide, the pig farmer said, insisting he didn't know Molly or her family, and he had already spoken to agents for well over an hour, which is true. So what are they doing? They keep questioning the guy, so they must know something we don't. Right, you don't just question an old man just because he looks like a creep stalker and there was a girl in the area. Do you think that man could even out overpower her? Although I guess if he's a pig farmer and she's not like as big as a pig, right? I guess you, if you're a pig farmer, you know how to, you know how to tie them legs together and string them up in the basement. So we'll see. We'll see if we get any news on Molly Tibbetts, the missing runner. Oh, by the way, yeah. If I were running, like, that would be the worst time to be kidnapped. Like, get in the car. I'm like, no. I'd be in the back of the car. I'm like, no, please, can I shower? I'm so sweaty. If I'm going to be kidnapped, can I at least be clean? You can come into the house with me. You can hold a gun to my head. Just let me soap my body up and get this sweat off, right? It's the worst if you're sweaty and kidnapped. This is the part of the show where I talk about video games. Boop-a-dee-ba, video games. Madden 2019 has been released for the PC. Can you believe it? After taking a 12-year hiatus from releasing for the PC, EA Games has now released Madden again on the PC Master Race thing. You guys think I was reading something? That was me just trying to talk like an announcer, like a news person. I wasn't actually reading anything. One time I was in a news station. I had taken a tour as part of a video production class I was doing, and we toured the local, like, Boston news station, right? And so we actually got to sit in the room where they sit at the desk and they read off the teleprompter, and they're like, we're live in 12, 11, 10. And I think that the lady must have been playing it up for us because it was the dumbest thing. It was like how you see on every news, like, TV movie thing where the anchor is like, I don't know what we're doing. What's the story? I have no clue what's going on. I got no info. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the news, right? And they shape up at the last second because they don't care what the story is. They just care what's on the teleprompter. That's all they have to do. I want that to be me when I'm doing my show. And I want people to go, these are the news stories we're covering, go. And then I have to read them and then I have to make jokes very quickly about them without having to be able to prepare them. That'd be great. Does anyone want to be a person who just shoves printed news stories in my face while we do the show? Sign up at newswithnick.com/intern /pig farm. Anyway, what was I saying? So Madden 2019 actually did come out for the PC, and I did get it, and I'm going to play it, and so far, it's awful. I hate these games that become ports of console games because you can tell they're ports. Like, the mouse literally doesn't click. You can click on something, but no. They want you to push a button because on the Xbox, there is no mouse clicking. You have to click a button. So they want me to highlight the selection I want and then press spacebar. So they basically just port all the commands from console over to keyboard. But whatever, EA is still evil, but we will support their moving Madden back to the PC. So I did buy it for $60. So that's $60 down the drain, right, everyone? This other game I recently played, I need to plug. It is called Quern Undying Thoughts, and it is on Steam, and it is $25. And at first, this has been out for quite a while, and I'd known about it, but I wasn't really going to play it, I didn't think. I put it on my, like, wish list, right? And I put it off for a long time, because it's like Myst. And I'm too dumb to play Myst. I don't like it. Everything's too obscure. And I'm not good at finding things. Like, looking around an area and going, oh, I had to pay attention to my environment and figure something out. And then you feel so dumb when you have to look up the solution to a puzzle and it ends up, like, being so stupid, right? But Quern is, like, if you like Myst video games, it is the closest one probably we have ever had. And it came out in late 2016 and it's definitely still worth $25. It's great. It's amazing. Here's the trailer.
I was only an explorer when I came here. But now, I'm so much more. After all that I've done, everything I've built, I need your help. I need
You wake up on an island, and then you just solve all of the environmental puzzles of it. It's great. It's amazing. Play it. And that concludes Nick's video game review of the week.
That 16-year-old girl says she is lucky to be alive. She suffered major injuries, including broken ribs and punctured lungs. Now she's speaking out as the sheriff's department investigates.
A 16-year-old girl sustained multiple injuries when she fell dozens of feet from a bridge after being unexpectedly pushed by a friend, and the incident has now sparked a police investigation. Footage published by multiple outlets, including blah, 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 shows Jordan telling her group of friends, "No, I won't go in," as they pressure her to jump into the river nearly 60 feet below. So she was on a bridge, climbed over the railing of the bridge, stood there, and said, "Are we going to jump in or not?" Yet Jordan's friends continue to press her in the video, and after she declines to jump once again, an unidentified woman is seen shoving her while her back is turned. The push caused her to fall off the bridge.
This picturesque bridge, suspended high above a river in Moulton Falls Regional Park, is a popular destination. Many come here to jump into the water down below.
Wait, what? People are jumping. So what? How? What?
But Tuesday, Jordan Holgerson made the plunge unexpected. She was pushed by another woman, a moment captured on video.
I could have died easily.
Holgerson wouldn't say if she was planning to jump before the push. It was her first time on the bridge. She ended up falling about 60 feet, her chest striking the water first.
In the air, I was trying to push myself forward so I could be like straight up and down so that my feet hit first, but that didn't really work.
After she hit the water, out and she was rushed to the hospital.
Well, I'm in a lot of pain without medication.
She has 5 broken ribs, 2 punctured lungs, and a lot of bruising.
Kind of saw the impact, and it was really loud. She was kind of struggling, and finally someone jumped in there and got her out of the water.
Oh, this could have been horrible. She could have died.
Trauma surgeon Mary Claire Sarf says when a fall is 3 times a person's height, there's a 50% chance they'll die. Holgerson's drop was much greater.
Wait, what? If you fall 3 times your height, you have a 50% chance of dying? Not into water, right? So what's that? 18 feet for most people. That's not that high to fall into water. I mean, I get it. Oh, if you fall high enough, the water is like concrete. We know, okay? But not 18 feet, right? I guess if you fall... Are they counting like falling... And then the angle, like if you hit your head, then if you fall 10 feet, you have a higher chance of dying. Or did they just shove 100 people off of a bridge and then see how many died and said 50%?
It's not that bad because it's water, but when you're falling that high from that height, the water is like concrete.
The bridge.
I didn't even hear her say that. Everyone always says that. The water is like concrete. Well, you know what? I think the water is like marshmallow. So take it, take that. Chat says, that chick really shoved her. Well, yeah. But at a certain point, if you're standing on a ledge, I kind of wonder how much of a shove you even need to lose your balance enough to fall. Because what could you do? Could you reach back and catch? Like, you can't do much. Once you're off balance, you're off balance. And you're going over the bridge. Edges of bridges are called bridges, right?
Tracks jumpers throughout the summer despite a sign that says no jumping. Here, news of the push drew strong reactions.
That's a big no.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. This is the part where we get to see shirtless men talk.
No, we don't push anyone off here.
That's bad. That's really bad. That shouldn't happen.
The woman who pushed Holgerson has not been publicly identified or charged with any crime. As for the video, it was removed from YouTube after wanted attention, if you ask this teenager.
That's not me skipping
like
ahead,
it.
Though. That's
There's
a judge.
Too many
that's
notifications on my phone.
That's a mess up of the website. That was not me. So yeah, they went around and asked some other kids, what do you think of having pushed a girl off a bridge? No, that's very wrong. We shouldn't be doing that. Dragon's Breath kiosk at Westtown Mall has closed. Liquid nitrogen burns have been reported in Florida. What's Dragon's Breath? Dragon's Breath is a frozen dessert made from cereal dipped in liquid nitrogen. When placed in the eater's mouth, it produces vapors which come out of the nose and mouth, giving the dessert its name. Dragon's Breath is made using colorful cereal balls described as having a similar flavor to Fruit Loops. The cereal is dipped in liquid nitrogen and served in a cup. The eater uses a stick to skewer the balls. Once in the eater's mouth, the cold of the liquid nitrogen combines with the warmth of the mouth to release visible vapors. Dragon's Breath was originally invented and served at Minibar in 2008, served in an LA restaurant, The Bazaar, in 2009. It spread throughout Taiwan, Korea, and the Philippines over the following years. So this seems like a pretty old product. Skewering the balls, putting them in your warm, warm mouth, and then dragon breathing it out. But apparently there's a news story. The Dragon's Breath kiosk in West Town Mall has closed, according to a representative from mall owner, who said it shut down approximately 1 month ago. The local version of the business opened in April, so only a few months ago, offering a novelty treat of Korean crackers, which are like cereal puffs that, when soaked in liquid nitrogen, caused vapor to emit from the indulger's mouth and nose. So in Korea, apparently they can do this safely, but not in the U.S. As Dragon's Breath treats have gained popularity in the U.S., media across the country have reported some doctors' warnings about potential frostbite or burns if customers don't follow precautions, such as using utensils and not fingers to pick up the treats. This is the problem. We can't have anything because blah, 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 blah. Spokesman for East Tennessee Children's Hospital and University of Tennessee Medical Center confirmed that neither had seen any cases of patients injured by consuming the Dragon's Breath frozen treat. What? What? That there are no cases? But an incident last October, a 14-year-old girl reportedly was treated for an infected burn on her thumb after she ate Dragon's Breath at a fair. What? This isn't even a news story. In a viral Facebook post, another Florida mom said that her 7-year-old son, known to be as asthmatic, suffered a severe asthma attack approximately 20 minutes after eating the liquid nitrogen-soaked novelties and subsequently had to be treated at a Jacksonville hospital. This is why I hate doing this show. It is because you have to filter the news from the not news. There is just a headline here that says Dragon Breath kiosk is closed. Maybe the Dragon Breath kiosk closed because they ran out of liquid nitrogen. You ever think of that, you idiots? Maybe it closed because the guy was like, wait, what am I doing? I'm serving Dragon Balls all day? I'm getting out of here. Does anyone have a free plane to buy to fly around? Because that's what I'm doing. So it sounds like in the U.S., two people have been hurt. One of them was on their thumb and one of them had an asthma attack. So it doesn't sound like that big a deal, but you guys might be hearing about it in the news in the coming days. Those kids with the Dragon Breath and Tide Pods, can you believe how dumb they are? And they want us to vote Bernie? I can't believe it. No, they don't care. They just want to eat their Dragon Balls. Does it even taste good, I wonder? Like, I feel like if something's covered in liquid nitrogen and you're focused on not burning yourself on liquid nitrogen, you're not even going to like the flavor of the balls. And then what if you pour milk over the balls? Does that just make them emit a foggy dragon flavor, a foggy dragon breath all over the room? Is that what the Addams family has for breakfast? Does Morticia go, hello, kids, here's your breakfast, and she pours milk into dragon balls, and then she carries around the two bowls of flaming, smoky cereal. And then you got to eat that. What happens when you pour milk over liquid nitrogen? I would like to know. What happens when you take milk and you cool it down to liquid nitrogen levels? Huh? Has anyone ever tried that? Uber, Lyft, and DC restaurants will ban Unite the Right rally participants. Twitter suspends numerous far-right accounts. You guys are like, Unite the Right? Wasn't that weird thing last year where a guy got hit by a car? Yes! White supremacists and white nationalists are heading to Washington, D.C. for Sunday's second Unite the Right rally. And they may have trouble... Wait, hang on. Anyone taking that out of context may take that to mean I support what they're doing? No. I just really hope that there's some good news stories out of tomorrow. But Unite the Right rally members may have trouble finding a way to get there or a place to eat. The rally comes on a one-year anniversary of the white supremacist violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, where on Saturday, police blocked off streets and mobilized hundreds of officers downtown in precaution. So in Virginia, they had actually started doing some preparation, even though it doesn't look like it's going to be in Virginia. Actually, wait, how far is Charlottesville, Virginia from Washington, D.C.? To Washington, D.C. That is 2 hours away. So they're actually doing the rally in D.C. this time, not in Virginia. Okay, good to know. In preparation for the rally near the White House, ooh, they're going to their leader, Trump. Trump, would you like to come lead us? Uber and Lyft told drivers they have the right to kick a passenger out of the car if they are harassed or threatened. At the same time, the Restaurant Association of Metropolitan Washington sent out a toolkit informing restaurateurs of their legal rights to refuse service to white nationalists and other political fringe groups. Meantime, Twitter suspended numerous accounts associated with the Proud Boys, a controversial group of right-wing chauvinists, on Friday, on the eve of the anniversary of the deadly Unite the Right rally. This is getting crazy. Airbnb has threatened to ban users who participate in the rally. They said, when we identify and determine that there are those who would be pursuing behavior on the Airbnb platform that would be antithetical to the Airbnb community commitment, we seek to take appropriate action, which may include removing them from the platform. So this is interesting, right? So you got a bunch of people who are doing some crazy things, who are publicly holding some views that are probably not really good for their future employment prospects. Then you have these services that say, oh, because you believe in X, we're going to ban you from using our service, which is completely, like, it's a private service. You should be allowed to do that. You should be allowed to ban someone from your service if they're a white nationalist or if they're a gay, right? Yeah. Okay? But no, you can do it if they're a white nationalist, but you can't do it if they're a gay. What if they're a black nationalist? Does that mean that that's a protected class? Because, you know what? I think everyone's already made this argument. So we're not going to, like, are they being racist for saying it's a white nationalist, you can't use our service? Obviously not, because they're not saying, because you could be a black person who's a white nationalist, right? I guess. I always found this video very interesting. This came out a couple months ago. It's a bunch of people walking down the street, and a very large man with a big white beard, and he says,
white nations!
White nations!
Now we start the deportation!
Now we start the deportation!
White nations!
White nations!
Close borders!
Close borders!
Now we start the deportation!
Now we start the deportation!
So he's just doing a chant, and I do this chant around my house now because it's so catchy. Close borders, close borders, white nation, now we start the deportation, now we start the deportation, close borders, close borders, like I can't even stop. But this guy, like, who is this? I want to know, like, nobody's called this guy out that I know of. All the internet loves going, Martin Shkreli, that guy sucks. But nobody's found who this guy is and gone, he has a very funny look to him. He's large. He waddles because he's so large. Hasn't done a lick of workout in his life, unless he probably has curls. And then he just yells a lot about being white.
White nations!
White nations!
Close borders!
Close borders!
Now we.
And then the rest of the people following along in the march are all also wearing these military, like, shield things. It's very strange. Like, why would you ever go to this? Like, do you have a real job? Or do you go back to your job and you're like, yeah, thanks for letting me take a couple days off. I had to go on a little trip. And they go, no, we saw you in the newspaper. No, that wasn't me. We saw you were holding a tiki torch, right? Remember that famous tiki torch picture? Where are all those guys? Like, are they just living a normal life? Do they work in a mechanic shop owned by their brother's brother? Their brother's brother. And like nobody cares? I'm so confused. I guess no, like, nah. I don't think ostracism works, because these people who are obviously being insane and very yelly, I would not feel comfortable around. Luckily, I'm a white nation, and I've memorized their chants, so I could like, they switched the password. I have to knock on their door in the chant. but I don't know what I'm saying. I'm rambling now at this point. So it has been News with Nick. Keep your eyes open for tomorrow's Unite the Right rally in D.C. It should be a good day. And I'm going to be off to play Madden for a bit. The chat says, an old guy built like that def might have been a boxer, though, as far as working out goes. And it has been News with Nick. I'm going to go play some Madden. Keep your eyes out for the news. And I will catch up with you later, as long as I don't move my office back downstairs in the heat wave and then go offline for another 2 months. Sign up on the feed at newswithnick.com. If the feed is doing that thing where it just says video version over and over again because the description's messed up, that's because the plugin keeps updating and I keep having to go hack it again. And sometimes the website CSS messes up because every time WordPress updates, it just replaces my CSS with its own again, and I have to go through and fix it. So we got that going for us, but it's okay. Nobody goes to my website. If you want to see the race results, head on over to newswithnick.com, click the race results button. If you want to see my YouTube, click on it and see my YouTube. I don't post anything recently, but anytime something funny happens in a video game, I post it, right? So whatever. Thanks for coming out. Bye. It's for the ones who wanna hide. I won't stay in the shadows all my life. Limitless. Oh, we're living limitless. Oh, I refuse to just exist.